Jesus, you are our King. That's our confession of the moment. We declare you as the absolute authority of our lives. You are Lord of our life. Hallelujah. And we humble ourselves before you. We submit ourselves to your word, to your Holy Spirit, and to your will to be done in us. Lord, may your will be done today in us, for you are changing us from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your presence working in our midst today, corporately, personally, and we thank you, Lord God, for that which you've begun in us. May today contribute to that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'd like you to open your Bibles to a very familiar verse, but I'm going to go through Isaiah chapter 40 and 41 for context. But the key verse, we'll say verse 31, probably many of you have a plaque or something on a wall in your house with that particular verse to serve as a reminder. It says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, a few verses prior to this, he speaks of giving power to the faint, and there's no weariness in God. God doesn't get tired. There's times we get tired. We say, "Well, I've had enough of this. I can't take any more." Or expressions like that. God doesn't wear out. In fact, you're not going to wear him out. I remember when our second son, Jesse, was about 4 years old, or maybe younger, two, and he grasped the concept of the word "why." Why? And I'm a teacher, and I love to teach. And with everything I would share, he would have three more questions, to where it would be like an hour or so later, and I'd say, "Okay, we're going to take a break now from this." Now, that takes a lot to wear me out concerning teaching. How about Donna? I mean, I can go and go and go, and because that's the gift of God within me that just... All it takes someone's pushing that button with like a question, or sometimes not even a question, just a comment, and you know, begin to share those things. But he used to be able to wear me out, not by intent. He wanted to learn. You know, he wanted to know. And one of the key things in raising children is in imparting the understanding of the reason why. You can't, now you start out just telling kids, "This is what I want you to do," from a place of authority, but you must be able to transition to create understanding as to the reason why. Then your conviction becomes their conviction. But if they don't understand the purpose of it and the reason why, they'll have no strength of conviction to walk it on through. So they'll always need someone to be telling them, making them, you know, and so on and so forth. But when you embrace the reason for things and the purpose of a thing, then that becomes the motivation. It becomes part of you. So I want to encourage you, you're not going to wear God out.
That's right.
Maybe I could get wore out. God's not going to get wore out. And the things that you really love to do, you get strengthened all the more. You know, Jesus had that time of ministry and was encountered the woman at the well. And the disciples were going to get more food, and they come back, and he's sharing with this woman, and they thought, well, you know, what's going on here? And he's saying, "Well, I have meat to eat, you know, not of," because they were thinking somebody snuck back, brought in some food, and he's rejuvenated now. And they were going to, you know, maybe want to argue over who got to him first or something like that. But Jesus drew a strength from doing the will of God. Now, what can happen is we can be doing what we believe would be his will, but relying on our own strength. Well, what's going to happen, or what could happen, is you end up coming up short because you're not relying on Him to do His will. But if you rely on Him to strengthen you to do His will, it'll be a joy to you, and you actually become stronger. Not weaker, stronger. Okay, well, getting back to our text here. God's not going to get wore out by you. Don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions or to persevere with Him. And he says there, verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard? God, the Lord, the creator of heaven and the earth, He doesn't faint not or get weary. Now He'll give power to the faint, and them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, what the attribute of youthfulness is strength. The Energizer Bunny, you can go and go and go. As you get older, you get a little wiser with some things in the strength realm, and you do things more efficiently or with more wisdom. I remember when we do take the high school kids up to Spruce Lake, and it was called Spruce Lake Outdoor School, and they go through various things in nature and show God in those things. It's awesome, awesome place. And I used to love going up there with the high school students. But and driving vehicle up with kids, and it's a couple hours. And when we get there, the boys in particular, now what are we going to do, Pastor Bill? And they weren't allowed to go anywhere on the property without an adult there with them who would be responsible then for everyone's safety and welfare and so forth. And, they would want to go out and play basketball. And this is after we just took a 3-hour hike up and down the mountain. And I'm thinking, oh, man. But I would be tired, but they would go, 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 go. Just run up and down a court if we just walked up and down a mountain for 3 hours. So as you're young, you can tend to have a strength just from the youthfulness, let alone godly purpose and the Holy Ghost working in your life. Just out of youthfulness, there can be a strength there. Now, we see it in the sports world. I kind of chuckled on myself because you'll hear, say, football season's coming up, and you hear them talk, well, so-and-so's, he's about over the hill here. He's 35 years old, and I'm thinking, that's old. But in athletic terms, where you need that extra push, that drive, yeah, that is getting older in purely physical athletic terms. So it's all a matter of perspective. But what I want to speak to in this next moment is that the pressures going on in this world would even be such, would wear out a young person, would wear out someone, and you have suicides supposedly at a higher level than have ever been recorded before. Where you have young people, they don't have the strength and the stamina to face certain things spiritually and realities and confusions and pressures and all such. And it's becoming a real problem of epidemic proportions worldwide. So if the young person doesn't have godly purpose, then they'll use that energy towards evil. But when they don't have any hope, then you end up in depression, states of depression, and shall fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is a strength in God available for whatever you need to do. Now, when we hear the word strength, we often relate it to, like, we hear the word power. You think of miracle power, healing power, and that's a part of it. But we need the strength to do whatever you're going to do in this life. And many things become such a part of us, we just sort of take for granted. And I had shared recently things I've gone through physically where I literally didn't have the strength to pick myself up. You know, like Donna would have to lift me up, help lift me up. I didn't have, and you just assume all your life, you get up, you get down. I mean, when you're about 1 year old, like I was set back to where I'm like 1 year old, and this is not mentally, but in terms of physically, where you can't do, you don't have the strength. Sometimes people begin to allow depression, Christians, and they don't feel they even have the strength to pray or the strength to even hold fast to hope anymore. So like holding your arm out, we have strength to even reach it out. Yes. We need to reach out and lay hold of the hope set before us in Jesus Christ. Well, there is a strength to do whatever God would require of you. Now, last week I was sharing with you about the love that passes knowledge. There's a love walk beyond what man can comprehend or know. And sometimes when you're met with the challenge of that, what people do is say, well, I can't do that. I can't forgive. No, they don't want to. To say you can't, it's denying the power of God, that same power that raised Christ from the dead. Now, we need to develop and exercise our spiritual muscles of faith, hope, and love so we are in a position we can do all that He would call us to do, whatever that might be. And I like to refer to what Brother Lester Sumrall would say, that if your vision doesn't shock your flesh, you're backslidden. In other words, as you continue to draw near to God and lay hold of the very life of God, God will challenge you because His heart's desire is that you keep growing and bearing fruit and thus bringing glory to God. So we have an absolute here. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew is to exchange. The process of exchange is a principle that governs all of life. You breathe in oxygen, you breathe out carbon dioxide. There's an exchange happening. It's in reverse with plants. I kind of chuckled to myself. All the people say follow the science with all this global warming and stuff. All we need is more plants to offset the more carbon you're releasing into the world. You know, our vice president even said, well, we need, I don't know if it was a gaffe or what, but, well, we need less people on the earth. Well, that's a New World Order phrase right there. But we exchange. And it's one of the secrets here to the Christian life. Sure, we're continuously exchanging our weakness for His strength. Now, He gives the illustration here, which I'm not going to get into too much here, of that with an eagle. They can lock their wings, and I've studied this out before. I think they call it a law of thermodynamics, where, like, say, sunlight maybe would hit a rock face, because they'll usually nest at a rock face, and you'd have heat rise up because of the sun, and they lock their wings and begin to soar above bad weather. They rise above all of the bad weather and fly with very little effort. Now, a bird of that size, to flap its wings, is going to tire itself out in short order. But they can lock their wings and allow the air to lift them above. And such is a great picture for us relative to walking in victory, is we need to lock in to the winds of the Holy Spirit. Let Him just lift us up above and out of the things that are surrounding us that would be the storms of life. Well, we'll walk, not be weary. We'll run, we'll not be weary. Now, I want to come here to verse 1 here, verse 41. You don't generally hear this preached with Isaiah 40:31. Keep silence before me, O Iowans, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Yes. Keep silence, O Iowans. Now, chapter 40 in the beginning here, he speaks of bringing the mountains down low and the valleys will be exalted. What we see and hear in other places in the Bible is that God will refer to people like various land attributes. In particular, various nations. And he mentions in chapter 40, you know, where are the nations essentially at when I created everything? Nations are like a drop in a bucket. A drop of water in a bucket of water. They're really nothing that much. But man will look at what's happening in nations and magnify it as so great and so big and allow a spirit of fear to begin to come upon because, oh, this nation's doing this and this is that. Oh, war is going to break forth. And it goes away. I like the Military History Channel, and especially all these videos where it shows World War II dictators and how they would rise in strength and power and have nations under their control to the point of ordering them to kill one another. And it would seem like such a monumental, you know, like the world's coming to an end. And they, in a couple of years, they'd be blown away, literally and figuratively. Yeah, they would come to nothing. And even today, many of those places are still, they never really recovered from the evil that they did, that they walked into. Well, he says here that the mountains, as man exalts himself, man can be compared to a mountain at times where he raises himself up, and you have the Tower of Babel as the epitome of that, to raise himself up towards God, to be his own God. Then you have many that are valleys that are beneath everything else. And they need help being raised up. And God was prophesying of the Christ to come. Here in Isaiah 40, he's prophesying that as the ways made for the Lord's coming, the mountains will be brought low and the valleys will be exalted. And that's speaking of people. The people who have nothing, that are nobodies in the eyes of the Lord, they'll be raised up. They'll be raised up with resurrection, life, and power. And if people are raising themselves up in their own power and strength, they'll be brought down. So we see that as a picture here. Now he adds to it, keep silence before me, O Iowans. He refers to people as Iowans. Some people as an Iowan. Now an Iowan is not connected to anything else. It's just there on its own. It's not connected. And there are people, some nations try to live as Iowans. They'll say, well, we're neutral. We're not for or against anybody. But, you know, war can come to their doorstep. Prior to World War I, our nation wanted to remain an island. That we weren't going to be involved with anything. Well, the whole world ended up in war. Same thing with World War II. And you have, it's a principle here, where people don't want to have to be connected to the world or to other people. But it's not reality to live as an island. Now, back in Judges chapter, I think it's verse 18, it speaks of the Danites. They weren't connected with anybody. And they ended up being conquered as a result of that. They had no one to help them. And many people try to live like they're an island. Christians nowadays live like they're an island. Now, if you're an island and you're not connected, you have no accountability. There's no avenue of any correction. You don't have to put up with things you don't like. In other words, you don't have to walk in love. But when you're connected, you must walk in love before you end up hating and killing each other. You're going to have to walk in love. And you're going to have to do a whole lot of forgiving and everything else. Now, one of the things that became a trend as a result of the COVID thing that happened, most churches shut down services. We didn't do that. If they started up again tomorrow, wouldn't do it tomorrow. Because God commands us to gather and to worship. It's not an option. It's a command. And the authority of man does not override the authority of the Lord or in His Word. And I'm just going to show you this in another place of Scripture here. That the people, many chose to become islands. And what I've heard from other pastors, this is pretty much worldwide, but in particular, I'm referencing our own nation. Literally only half the people started going back to church again. That was the statistic I heard over and over. Some who are nationally known said this, and some who are more localized. Half the people never came back for worship. Why? Because they got used to being lazy in the flesh. Well, I don't feel like getting up and taking a shower and getting dressed and driving a car off to church and gathering. Well, I don't really feel like doing that. And so then what happens, then you do more and more to please your flesh and less relative to just living for the Lord. Now, there's a couple different factors here. One is we miss out on a lot of what God would want to impart into us. The renewing of our strength is going to come, one of the ways is through the hearing of the Word of God. But it's also through us encouraging one another, exhorting one another, it says in the book of Hebrews. So we miss out on a lot. We miss out on helping one another. And if you think you don't need help, you're already deceived. Not maybe will be, you already are. Because God had created us where we have a measure of the Holy Spirit. We have access to an inheritance in Christ, but we have a measure that operates through all of His people who are yielded to Him. He'll operate through them to bless us. And whether that blessing's a personal word of encouragement, a prayer for you, or whether it's on a corporate level, that's not the issue. But the fact here is that we cannot live as an island. Because when people live as an island, they just determined how they feel the will of God is for their life. They'll do what they want to do and not what He commands them to do. Now, he says here, keep silence before me, O islands. Let the people renew their strength. In order to renew your strength, you're going to have to shut your mouth first. That's what it's saying here. Keep silence. What's that mean? Stop talking. Be quiet. Listen. Listen, listen, listen. And as we're listening, allow God to impart into us. That's what we're listening for. Lord, what do you say about the situation? Now in chapter 40, as he says to speak comfort to them, he brings forth the revelation of the greatness of God and how big He is. That alone is enough to send you on a rocket to victory. If you just consider how big God is as creator of heaven and earth, and then on top of that, He lives within you. His Holy Spirit's been given to you to empower you, to strengthen you with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. So he's saying here, be still, listen. And I share this frequently. One of my great concerns of the age we're living in is there's too much noise and images and constant stuff where people don't learn the art of being still and just listening. Through life for a while, but there comes times you need to hear from God, and nothing short of that's going to do for you. You must hear from God. And not just hear from Him, but then receive what you need to do His will. He says, let them renew their strength, let them come near, then let them speak. The simple principle of ministry is you hear, and then you speak. Yes. When Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, that He will say the things He hears, He'll speak of the things that He hears. That Christ being revealed and glorified, He will speak of those things. We need to learn to be that way, where we learn to hear, to really hear, not just hear outwardly, to hear in our heart. To hear someone else's heart. You know, you go to any medical person, they have their stethoscope, and they'll listen to your lungs and your heart. I've had many, many encounters with the stethoscope. I mean, not bad. It's just an instrument. It's just a tool to help them hear. We need help with hearing. We can more easily connect to, I need help talking. But we really have to start with having the Holy Ghost help us to hear the voice of God. And part of that is taking our thought captive with the Word of God, to where we don't have all this noise in our head, where we can't hear Him. We can't discern what's going on. Now again, you have, in terms of relational ministry, you must be able to hear the heart of the person before you know what. Something to really do a self-reflection on: how good of a listener am I? How much am I hearing people? And how much am I just talking what I think? Something that becomes a habit for people, it's a very bad habit to fall into. For me, it's very noticeable when people do this. You talk, you get half a sentence out, and they're trying to answer you before you even finish the main thing you wanted to say in that sentence. That is a habit within people. It's way worse than you'd ever imagine. You wouldn't think about it, except begin to judge yourself on that. Am I really hearing? Am I really listening? Many times misunderstandings in marriages come because you didn't really hear the person out. Or being a brother and sister, we didn't really hear what they were saying. Then you mix in with that sometimes people's use of words, they're using, it's different, or it means something different to you than it does to them. So, you know, you don't want to have assumptions in that realm. So in order to be full of the Spirit of God, we need to first peace, another way of saying it, keep silence, or learn to listen, O Iowans. Okay. People who would tend to be doing their own thing, not too connected, and people will make determinations how much connection they want with others. Now, God commands it, which then forces us to have to walk in love. If you give your flesh a way out from walking in love, you'll take it every time. So we learn to listen and hear, and then speak. And it speaks of God raising us up. The following verses here. He says, I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the beginning and the end. Verse 5, the isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped, now here's what I want to draw attention to. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. the byproduct of us not remaining as an island and us realizing, God, I need you. I need you to fill me. I need your wisdom, your love. I need faith. I need all this from you. As we begin to realize this, and we see and understand how God would create things where he's going to give a measure of his spirit to flow through us one to another, then we can begin to grasp hold of this, that we need to be committed and purposed to helping one another. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. See, something changed in some of the people here. Now, as we look at the whole context of Isaiah 40 and 41, it's a prophecy of Christ's coming, and the proud would be brought low and the humble lifted up, and we would have access to the strength and power of God to do his will. But with that comes where we are not trying to do his will by ourselves, for ourselves, but rather we understand we are called together, and together God would be glorified in a greater way. So it says here, as Iowans, when the fear of the Lord or respect for God came, one of them would begin to reach out to their neighbor. Well, then Jesus addressed, you know, with the Good Samaritan story, and he said, well, who is my neighbor? It's whoever you're encountering, whoever you come into their presence, you come into their, you're crossing paths with their life. That's the attitude he wants us to have, to look to, what can I give to help those around me? But before I can have anything to give, I have to hear. I need to listen. I need to be a good listener. And that involves the process of waiting on the Lord. One of the things that's rather reflective, I'd say, with our country is efficiency. We are a very hardworking, very efficient-minded nation. Of the places I go to, I don't see any that are more efficient than right here. We're trained that way. You don't waste time. You work hard. You work smarter, not harder, and all the rest of it. But we have all that efficiency. What happens, you can begin to cross off the time for flexibility to change something, to reach out to somebody. The Good Samaritan story, say it was a priest and a Levite, and some people preach that portraying like, oh, they were just religious. And I don't believe that's what he was saying at all. They're two peoples who should have known better, who should have had a committed, disciplined life.
That's right.
It's not that they thought themselves above or so high, but rather, I believe they probably were too busy, too scheduled. And also you mix fear in with that. And the Holy Spirit challenges me on this at times. You know, be willing to just stop. And I used to do this more so when I would go grocery shopping. Just read the label, stand there, wait, somebody comes down the aisle, and the Holy Spirit begin to quicken in you. Talk to that person. Shout to them. And sometimes people will think, well, nobody wants to hear the gospel. Well, not if you're kicking the front door down to their house of their soul. Show the love of Christ. Be interested in them. Be kind.
Yes.
Keep an ear open to the Holy Spirit. What they need to help them. And an ear, and that comes by listening to them, learning to be that good listener. But if in our heart and our mind we don't have the provision that I can not do this to reach and help someone else, there's like a mindset then that we're just too busy. Got to do this, do this, do this, do this. You know, do all kinds of things, and we're missing opportunities. I don't want to miss the opportunity that I have in God, whether it's to be an encouragement, something that would seem small, but it's really not, or something that would seem to be big. Well, verse 10 says, "Fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed," or don't feel overwhelmed by what's going on. The young man could feel overwhelmed. If you look at what all is going on in the world, it can be overwhelming. But he's with us. Not just traditionally, but he wants to fill us with himself. "I'll strengthen you. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." So this was really stirring in my heart here today, and just to exhort us, simplify your life and wait on the Lord. Don't cut out waiting on the Lord to do other things. When people are getting too busy with the affairs of this life, there's one of three things are going to happen. Either you're going to cut your time with God, you're going to cut your time with your family, or you're going to cut in on something that is needful for your health. Where else are you going to cut? It pretty well encompasses things. And we can't afford to cut into our time with God. You know, there's an expression, it's a rather old expression, about having devotions. And that means whatever it means to people. But the point is, you're spending time with him. Listen to him through the hearing of the word, the reading of the word, meditating the word. It means to speak it to yourself. And continue to just keep an ear. Be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not something that's just going to happen. It's not about experience. There's a discipline in life to maintaining that. And what happens, you get a certain point along the way, there's something you need to do, you don't have what it takes. Well, that's not the end. Just come back to him. Draw near to him. Be still, be quiet, let him speak to you. See, the Holy Spirit guides us in truth. And there's an expression of embrace, and I share for years, shared. Like, what's the Lord saying to you? Yes. See, that's the key thing. We need to, Lord, what are you saying to me? There should always be a sense of that within our spirit, of what the Holy Spirit's trying to say to us. That's why I always ask the question, what's God saying to you? I don't mean to be a smart aleck doing that. That's real fellowship. That's what gives life, when you recognize what he's speaking to you, whether it's a command to do something or that which would build faith. What is he speaking to you?
Yes.
And are you handling that? Are you responding with that? It's sort of like as a word from the Lord comes, and it's like a chicken sitting on an egg to warm it, to hatch it. You're like the mother bird. To hatch the egg. We hatch that word. We meditate upon it. We embrace it until it begins to bear forth fruit, and God will speak something else to you. But if there's a word from the Lord to your life and you don't do anything with it, and years go by, there's not going to be any strength or growth or change. You live from word to word. From word of the Lord that he's saying to you, not words. The word, what's he saying to you? Not what's he saying to you about somebody else, what's he saying to you about you? And it's life-giving to live that way. So, I'll leave you with this thought. What's he saying to you? When things are getting more chaotic in the world, like they are, we're on the verge of world war, we're on the verge of all kinds of, one world government and all the rest. As things get more chaotic, it's very easy to lose perspective or not be anchored in. But we have to continue to hold fast by what you know the Lord spoke to you about your life, about his will for your life. You've got to be all the more so fixated on that. And that's fine, how I find for myself. That's where I keep coming back to. The things that I know he said to me, what he's saying to me in the present moment, which are various things, but there be certain things that are over and over emphasized. You see, growth in the truth of God, it's not like snap all at once. I mean, there could be times like that, but it's very much where there's a development. There's a fruitfulness that's going to come forth. So, anyway, I just want to leave you more than exhortation here today in that, Father, just help us to judge yourself. We not be judging our brother or sister. Help us, Father, rise above expectations of people which lead to offense. But, Father, we would know what you're expecting of us personally, each one of us. What's required of us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, what the direction is. Father, we trust. Reminder, the remembrance within everyone here of things you've said, so we don't lose perspective and fall into deception. Deception of Antichrist's spirit, the deception in this world. Well, Father, may we continue to know and walk with the Spirit of truth. And Father, I just declare we shall, as a people, rise strong. We shall rise up strong in the Lord and the power of your might. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. I feel like the legion of confession here right now. Just stand with me. If you can stand. Jesus, we declare you.
Jesus, we declare you.
Savior.
Savior.
Lord. The authority of our life.
Authority of our life.
Your will gives life.
Your will gives life.
Your Holy Spirit gives strength.
Lead us and guide us.
You've been speaking a thing to me.
Bring it back to my remembrance.
Just as you said, Jesus.
May that word that's to each individual here
be strengthened this day. May we hear it as an echo in our heart.
The word of the Lord to us.
And we thank you for that, Lord.
Thank you for that.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You have a song close? Yeah. Yep. You do that. Hallelujah. We're going to close with a song together here.